Before we get started, I want to take a minute to ask you for your help. Since 2014, Ascension has been creating free Catholic YouTube videos, podcasts, and articles to help people like you discover the truth and beauty of our Catholic faith. Ascension releases 18 free videos. That's 18 free videos and podcasts every single week, and we've reached millions of people with the message of God's love. Now, while this content is free to consume, it's not free to make. So to help offset the increasing cost of production, we're asking for financial support to continue bringing this life-changing content to people who are searching for Christ. If you or someone you know has personally benefited from our work here at Ascension, please consider financially supporting this podcast and our channel. Any amount is truly appreciated and will go towards things like Ascension Presents, YouTube channel, the Bible in Your Podcast, and Ask Father Josh. To make a gift, please visit ascensionpress.com/support or click the link in the description. Again, that's ascensionpress.com/support. And whether you're able to support us financially or not, please keep our entire team in your prayers. What's up, and welcome to Ask Father Josh, the podcast where I get to listen to your questions, pray with them, and hopefully respond in such a way that is helpful for you to become a saint in your walk toward eternity. Here's how the show goes. You hit me up with your own questions. I will pray with them. I will study them. I reflect upon them. I will have conversations with holy friends about your questions, and then I will respond in a way that I pray helps you to become a saint. But the reality is this: I'm not infallible, therefore my advice might not be good for you. If that's the case, please just throw it in the trash. But if it is helpful for you, I encourage you and I invite you to cling close to Christ so he can give you the grace to fulfill the demands of discipleship. On today's show, we're going to be talking about a place that seems to divide a lot of Catholics in the church. A place that I'll, with full transparency, share with you is very close to my heart, Medjugorje. And so we're going to talk about that today. But before we talk about that awesome place, in my opinion, I want to remind you that you can hit me up with your own questions, comments, and critiques at www.ascensionpress.com/AskFatherJosh. You can also rate us and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and other podcast formats. And you can share us on your social media pages. If it's been good for you, it might be good for other people as well. And so with that, I want to jump into a glory story before we start talking about all things Medjugorje. Drinking my coffee right now. I haven't talked about coffee in a long time, but I'm drinking this cold brew right now. So I got this thing of cold brew coffee, and it's just making me so happy. I love coffee, and yeah, I just do. But like, this cold brew stuff is like kicking right now. So shout out to Jesus. But coffee's so good. But that's not my glory story. It's nothing to do with coffee. What is my glory story even about? Oh, yeah. I was going to share with you. So it's beautiful what happens whenever we get proximate to people. So there's a Catholic figure who will remain unnamed on social media who tends to be somewhat controversial at times. And I've seen some of this person's posts and been just very disappointed. I'm like, man, that's just not good for the body of Christ. And so I'm not judging the person, but I've judged the tweets of the person and the messages. I'm like, man, that is not healthy. That is not good. This person needs to pray for the gift of tongues so that way they won't keep putting out this stuff that's not very helpful for the kingdom. And recently I got to meet this person, and we sat down with each other and spent time together. And it was just so beautiful because this person is a really good person. This person is a person who loves Jesus Christ a lot. And just being with the person, I was like, wow, like this is, yeah, you aren't who you appear to be on social media. You're so much more. And I think it's just good for us to get proximate to people that might be difficult, that we might struggle with, because then we're able to see the whole person. So it's just beautiful getting to know people. When we get proximate to people, it really can change our perception of what we think they're about. So God is so good. So that's my glory story. It's just to not judge a book by social media and to give people grace because, man, we all need it, don't we? And with that, let's talk about Medjugorje, which can also be controversial at times too. All right, so Medjugorje. Medjugorje is a place I've been four times now. The first time I went to Medjugorje was when I was in seminary. I went to Medjugorje back in 2011 in the months of May and June, and it was such a powerful experience. I went back in December and January of that same year. Yeah, prayer was so peaceful there, and I've been to many different apparition sites all over the world. I've been to Fatima, I've been to Lourdes, and many others. There's just something different about Medjugorje. Medjugorje reminds me of the town of Assisi, where St. Francis and St. Clair and Blessed Carlos of Kuti are. There's just like a bubble of peace around the place. And I've always said, when I go to Medjugorje, I don't go for the visionaries. Though on my most recent trip, I got to stay with one of the visionaries, and that was a story in itself, a very beautiful, glorious story. But I just go because I feel like Our Lady wants me to be there. It's a very peaceful place for me to abide with Jesus. So what's the story? June 24th, 1981, allegedly, the Blessed Virgin Mary began to appear to six kids in this little town called Medjugorje. She called herself the Queen of Peace, and it is believed by many that she was sent by God to draw people in the world to a deeper intimacy with her son, Jesus Christ, through a number of things. Recitation of the Most Holy Rosary, through fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays, through the weekly participation in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, through monthly confession, and through daily reading of Sacred Scripture, the Word of God. And according to the visionaries, the apparitions, the appearances of Mary are still happening today. So I have a few thoughts on this apparition because, again, I've been there many times, four times. Most recently, I was able to take my parish there, and I'll explain why I was able to do that and why Pope Francis approved of that as well. But before I talk about that, I want to first do like a primer on public revelation and private revelation. So there are two kinds of revelation, right? There's public and there is private. And the Baltimore Catechism actually teaches us that we have been created to know, love, and serve God in this life and be happy with him in the next. And God makes himself and his plan known to us through revelation. And revelation is broken down into publics and private, public, private. So public revelation ended with the death of John, the beloved disciple. He was the last original, the OGs of apostles to die. Whenever John died, that's when public revelation ended. Public revelation is contained in the Bible. It is interpreted. It is handed down to us through sacred tradition. Public revelation has ended with the death of John, the beloved disciple. Private revelation now is this, though. It is when God, through his generosity, shares with the church today, whether it's through visions, apparitions, appearances, locutions, like those voices, audible voices of himself. God the Father spoke to Catherine of Siena. Jesus Christ spoke to Saint Maria Faustina. Through saints like the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary spoke to the children of Fatima. She spoke to Juan Diego. She spoke to the children of Cabejo, or through other saints, right? So Saint Francis of Assisi and Saint Dominic spoke to Saint Vincent Ferrer, or through angels. The angel Gabriel spoke to Mary and spoke to Joseph while he was sleeping. So these are what's called private revelations. And the church teaches that Catholics, we must, all cap, must, M-U-S-T, believe in everything that has been revealed to us through what is public revelation. So what has been revealed to us through, since the death of John, the beloved disciple, right? We have to believe it all, right? That is not optional. But it is not a doctrine that we as Catholics must believe in private revelations, right? So these are, again, these are visions, apparitions, locutions that God shares with the post-apostolic church. So even though we don't have to believe in them, we do and are called to commend these private revelations that have been approved as something that's worthy of pious belief, right? So if the church says that the private revelations that have been shared are not contrary to our Orthodox faith and practice, then we must commend them as worthy of pious belief. So the main gist of messages that have been approved through apparitions that, like the church says, like Fatima or Lourdes or whatever, those approved ones, the gist of the message needs to be accepted by us. And so whenever we're talking about these appearances, these supernatural events, like the gist of the message needs to be accepted. The accidents surrounding the message don't need to be, all right? So because the core message that is revealed through private revelations are oftentimes simply magnifying or reiterating what has already been given to us in public revelation. For instance, we are encouraged to increase our prayer and fasting and almsgiving and many apparitions. Well, that's actually public revelation. That comes from the Bible. Jesus Christ himself said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give alms. All right, so like, this is not anything new. And oftentimes we as Catholics, we get mediocre in our faith. We get kind of lax and we stop increasing our prayer, our fasting, our almsgiving to the poor. And so the Blessed Mother or the saints or the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, the Trinity will come and remind us to receive the sacraments. Right? What Our Lady of Medjugorje allegedly continues to say in apparitions, go back to Mass, go back to Mass, go back to Mass. Right? This is nothing new, right? This is what the early church did. This is in the Acts of the Apostles. So as far as like the specifics of apparitions, if you don't want to believe that the sun dances, you don't have to. Like, you're not going to go to hell for not believing that the sun doesn't dance or does dance or whatever. If you don't believe that the water in Lourdes is special and that the Lord is working miracles through water in people who are sick are being cured, you don't have to believe that. Like, that is not something that you have to assent to. But what we must assent to is those aspects of the faith that are public revelation being magnified through the specific private revelation that is happening. Again, let's go back to when you pray, when you fast, when you give alms. All right, this is biblical. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. This is what the Lord himself teaches. The Catechism of the Council of Trent also says this. Fasting is most intimately connected with prayer. For the mind of one who is filled with food and drink is so borne down as not to be able to raise itself to contemplation of God. So how many of us, if we're being honest, still really fast throughout the year? Like, how many of us really incorporate fasting into our lives? So I believe what happens is this, is that aspect of public revelation, fasting, has been forgotten by many of us, and we might just fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, and we might forget to fast throughout the year. So the Blessed Mother is reminding us through apparitions, whether it was in Fatima when she encouraged us to fast, or in Medjugorje where she encouraged us to fast, she's reminding us of this core message of the gospel. If you want some historical context, the early church Christians, they fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays. That's what the Didache says. The Didache was given to us around the year 100 AD. Did you hear me? 100 AD. Like, that's a long time ago. That's the early church. The disciples of the disciples were the ones that were alive during this time. So in the message of Our Lady of Medjugorje, and again, I say allegedly because the church has not approved them yet. They're still happening. You cannot approve a message while it still happens. Like, she keeps saying, pray and fast. Wednesdays and Fridays, increase your fasting, bread and water. And so she's really reiterating something that's public revelation. So like that kind of a message, a private revelation, we should not disregard, because she's just reminding us of something that's already given to us in the Word of God. But many of us, we forget these basic practices. We've been neglecting these basic practices. And so the extraordinary event of a vision of God or a saint or an angel, of an apparition of Jesus, of Our Lady, of an angel, of a saint, of a locution of God or an angel or saint or the Blessed Mother, these events, these encounters often happen so that we are reminded, because we're so forgetful, we get spiritual amnesia, we do forget over and over again. We're being reminded of something that is not being practiced well by us, the faithful. And so authentic apparitions of God, or of Mary, or of the saints, or of the angels, they don't add anything to our faith. They just emphasize something that is already present in the church's ordinary teaching that is not being lived well. These extraordinary encounters that we experience are meant to be a bridge for us to come back to the ordinary revelation of the faith. Private revelation is at the service of public revelation. And it should promote the primacy of the public revelation that has already been revealed to us since the death of the last apostle, the beloved disciple, John. It is, and I want to really highlight and emphasize, it is really problematic if we become more devoted to the sensational aspects of the apparitions in Medjugorje, like the sun dancing, rosaries turning gold, I smell roses during the alleged apparitions. If I'm more rooted in those experiences happening than I am rooted in Jesus, in the confessional, in going to mass, in cultivating a relationship with the Lord through sacred scripture, in serving the poorest of the poor, if I know more about the message of even Fatima, our Lord's, or Guadalupe, if I know more about all those really cool things about those approved apparitions, and I can't even recite the Ten Commandments, but I can tell you all the secrets of Fatima, whoa, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because now I'm making a bigger deal about these sensational aspects of the apparition than I am about public revelation that God has given to me in sacred scripture, the infallible and inerrant inspired word of God. Like, we ought to be more rooted in the word of God than we are in the sensational aspects of apparitions that happened hundreds of years ago and apparitions that are allegedly still happening today. The word of God is the infallible, inspired, inerrant voice of God, right? The word of God. It's his voice. It's available to us 24/7. And how many of us neglect the Bible, but we're so quick to want to hear a message, a vision, a mystical insight, a locution? We want to get next to like a visionary or somebody that we believe has a direct connection with God. And the Lord's like, you have a direct connection with me too. It's called the Bible. We ought to hunger to read the Bible more than we read any other book. We are invited by the Lord to meditate and to contemplate the word of God, to devour sacred scripture, right? Other books might be helpful, books on theology or spirituality, but they are not all infallible. They are not totally inerrant or are inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is. St. John Chrysostom, he even says, right, every cause of discord in the church, it comes from ignorance of scripture. Ignorance of scripture. And St. Jerome says ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. And so we ought not disregard the word of God. And we ought not place mystical experiences and encounters and the charismatic above sacred scripture. St. John of the Cross, he's a doctor of the church, speaking of people who are more focused on those like mystical things, supernatural things happening in the world, in the church, than they are in the Bible. He says this, therefore, if someone were now to ask questions of God or to seek any new vision or revelation, he would not only be acting foolishly, but would be committing an offense against God. For he should set his eyes altogether upon Christ and seek nothing beyond Christ. God might answer him after this manner, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. I have spoken all things to you in my word. Set your eyes on him alone, for in him I have spoken and revealed to you all things, and in him you shall find more than you ask for, even more than you want. St. John the Cross, he goes on to say that those who claim to receive like extraordinary favors from God are always subject to errors in the process of receiving, interpreting, or relating the content that they have heard or seen. How many times have we seen this? Someone does have a legit encounter with God, but because we're human and we're broken and we're imperfect, we oftentimes don't fully understand what God has communicated to us. And so we are prone to misinterpreting this. Even the saints misinterpreted things. St. Catherine Labre misinterpreted her authentic locutions of God whenever she had these encounters with the Lord in prayer. And she's a canonized saint, right? So it's possible for us to receive something of the Lord and then misinterpret it, misunderstand what he was trying to say. It is, I think, healthy for us to keep all of this in a perspective when we talk about Medjugorje, right? So when people go to Medjugorje, if they have extraordinary graces that are experienced during their time there on pilgrimage or when they leave the pilgrimage to Medjugorje, it's because God wanted to draw them to a deeper communion with him, to draw them back to the basics of the faith. Again, the core messages of Medjugorje are to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays, to recite the rosary, to meditate on sacred scripture, to go to mass. There's like these very basic, go to confession, very basic things that the Lord is just trying to draw those particular people to. And for whatever reason, he knew that they needed some supernatural event to happen to draw them. But if we don't experience that, it's because he's like, you don't need that at all. Now, can we even go to Medjugorje? Is it okay? We'll put Francis in 2019. We are now in 2024. At the time of this podcast being recorded, it is 2024. And so in 2019, Pope Francis authorized pilgrimages to Medjugorje. So a parish or a diocese can now take a pilgrimage to Medjugorje. A pilgrimage does not say that he thinks it's authentic, but whenever his director of the Holy See press office was questioned about this, he said, considering the considerable flow of people who go to Medjugorje and the abundant fruits of grace that have sprung from it, this authorization is part of the particular pastoral attention that the Holy Father intended to give to that reality, and that encouraging and promoting the fruits of good. When I've gone to Medjugorje, it has been a place for me where I've been able to enter into deep intimacy with Christ. A number of people who I know have gone there as atheists or agnostics or following Catholics, and they've come back on fire for the faith. They've gone to confession. They now go to Mass every Sunday and sometimes daily Mass. Many of them have become priests and religious sisters and brothers. Like, Medjugorje has borne a lot of supernatural fruit. I would say God has manifested a lot of supernatural fruit in this place. My last visit, I had lived with one of the visionaries, and what I was blown away by her presence was that she was a servant. Like, she didn't even tell us she was one of the visionaries for the first 3 days. She was waiting on our table and making coffee for us and cleaning up after us. And then she revealed that she's one of the visionaries and invited us to go to the apparitions with her. Again, I don't know if the visionaries are authentic or not, because they're human and humans are sinners. The apostles were sinners. The apostles, like Peter, had an apparition in the Bible. Like, Peter had an apparition of Moses and Elijah on the top of Mount Tabor. Peter did. And then Peter also drank and he cursed and he cut someone's ear off and he abandoned Jesus. And so I think that it's important when we look at the lives of the visionaries, they might not be perfect. They might be sinners. But just because they're sinners doesn't mean that God's not going to appear to them or Mary's not going to appear to them, because Jesus let Moses and Elijah appear to Peter, who clearly was a big-time sinner, right? And he messed up again and again and again before he was ordained and after he was ordained. And so it's just important for us to not think because God is choosing to reveal himself to certain people that those people then won't have faults and failures and vices and bad habits and imperfections. So, but one of the fruits from my time in Medjugorje is I have an increased desire for holiness. I've seen miracles happen, like physical healings happen in Medjugorje. I've been a part of them. I've smelled the roses during the alleged apparitions. I've seen the sun dance and I've been drawn to pray more. I've had an increased longing and desire and hunger to meditate on the life of Christ with the rosary, the Medjugorje. And a lot of my parishioners who I took recently from my parish, Sacred Heart of Jesus, they experienced little miracles too, and especially things turning gold. And like, it was crazy how many people's rosaries began to turn gold while we were there. And then we came home and randomly rosaries and St. Benedict medals and axe bracelets kept turning gold, which just is different. And so, yeah, Medjugorje is just, for me, it's a special place, but you don't have to believe in it, right? But I also encourage you not to knock people who go there. I've seen on social media over the past few weeks, people just like going off on the place. Like, I can't, why do people want to go there? Why can't they go to an approved place? Well, we can. And I have. I've been to Fatima and I've been to Lourdes, right? Those places are great. But if the Lord is putting on my heart to go somewhere, like, don't worry about that. Like, let me go there. If the Lord's putting on your brother or sister in Christ's heart to go there, to pray, to abide in intimacy with Christ, why are you knocking that? Like, that's just like, I would never say, like, why is somebody reading a book by whoever, you know, whatever. Name this. If the book is helping them to remain a faithful Catholic and become a radical disciple of Jesus Christ and pray and fast and give alms and remain in the sacramental life of the church, even if it's written by an author that I don't particularly care for, if it's bearing supernatural fruit, I bless that, right? I'm not going to knock somebody going on a retreat. If the retreat's bearing fruit and helping them to be holy and to be obedient to Christ Jesus, praise God. Even if it's not my kind of retreat, I'm not going to knock it. So I think we get, yeah, I think it's the spirit of pride. That's what it is, probably. It's that vice of pride. So don't be prideful. Just be grateful that people are being drawn to the Lord and that people are having conversions. But also pray that people who do go to Medjugorje are not emphasizing the supernatural aspects of it, the mystical events, more than they are increasing their time with that, the Word of God and that which has been already revealed to us at the Holy Mother Church. With that being said, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to jump into a saint who happened to be a mystic, who happened to be a visionary, and who happened to be a sinner. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Jeff Cavins, and I'm excited to introduce you to the Ascension app. It contains the full text of the Great Adventure Bible, the full text of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and both the Bible and Catechism in a Year podcast. The app has special features that make the connections between the Bible and the Catechism crystal clear, like color-coded crosslinks and easy navigation. It also answers nearly 1,000 questions from Bible in a Year listeners about the Bible with videos from myself and others, also audio clips and excerpts from Ascension's popular books. To download the app, simply go to the App Store on your phone and search Ascension. I hope you enjoy it. I enjoy it, carry it around everywhere I go.
And we are back. Don't forget, you can hit me up with your own questions, comments, and critiques at www.ascensionpress.com/AskFatherJosh. You can also rate us and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and other podcast formats. And you can share us on your social media pages. If the show's been good for you, it might be good for other people as well. The saint that we're going to talk about today is not actually canonized yet. She currently is a venerable, I think, venerable Sister Lucia, Dos Santos of Fatima, or she was one of the three kids of Fatima who the Blessed Mother began to appear to in 1917. Those apparitions have been approved, by the way. She, unlike her two counterparts, Jacinta and Francesco, they both passed away at a very young age as kids. She went on to enter into the convent. She became a nun. But guess what? Even as a nun, she struggled with sin. And there's a book that came out that reveals her journal, which she writes about the vices that she brought to the confessional. Now, I'm about to read these vices to you, and this might humble us because, again, we might think, oh, yeah, like a visionary must like be in the illuminative stage of the spiritual life or the unitive stage of spiritual life at all times. Well, check this out. Here are some of her faults and failures, and she was, again, a visionary. Here's a list. Resentments which do not allow me to forget the defects of others. Faults against charity, which these resentments oftentimes lead to. Egoism, which leads me so many times to choose the best for myself. Self-love, which leads me to have my view prevail. Excessive propensity to be grieved with trifles. To remain quiet many times in order not to have my opinion rejected with people who I know beforehand have to win the argument, even without good reason. Lack of respect and disdain for those who contradict me. Sadness and weariness produced by wounded self-love. Consenting to complaints of self-love. Concentrating on the faults of others without seeing my own faults. Curt replies to the sisters, not valuing the work of others. In my eyes, I think my work is better than others. To want others to esteem my work. Resistance to grace. Distractions which diminish insights of faith and touches of grace. Curiosities. Useless words in moments of silence, uncharitable thoughts and words, omissions of charity, carelessness in the practice of small sacrifices, lack of patience in unforeseen events, lack of an ability with others, lack of respect for the opinions of others, not valuing other people's opinions, the difficulty in allowing others' opinions to prevail, allowing myself on many occasions to be very, very happy or very, very sad, not being punctual enough, not taking correction willingly, unwillingly to assume my own feelings, being rude to those who displease me, failing of devotion in my spiritual duties and visits to the Blessed Sacrament, failing to be diligent in obedience, failing to be pleasant with others, failing to use ejaculatory prayers during the day to maintain my union with God, and failing to visit the Blessed Sacrament in my free time. That's beautiful. That's just beautiful that she was so human and that she was so self-aware and that she brought her struggles, her vices, her imperfections, and her sins to the confessional to receive God's love and mercy. And so, Venerable Lucia, we invite you to pray for us that we may increase our time of prayer with the rosary, our worship of God at the Mass, that we may increase the amount of times we go to the confessional, that we may increase the time we spend reading sacred scripture, and we may increase our practice of fasting throughout our walk toward eternity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Until next time, God bless.